Okay, can you hear me? All right.
So, welcome to Chris Hurdorf.
Entschuldigung.
He tries to wake you up. Chris Hurdorf he calls himself Network Design Engineer at the University of Minnesota. And he's been very interested in the NetBIOS layer. He's done some documentation on that. He asked some interesting questions on the Samba technical list. What does Windows do with this packet? And he's been doing a lot of work on JCIFS, which is a project which is mainly a SMB client in Java, as I understand it. And he's going to talk about the protocol we are all talking about today, how it can be used in projects that are not Samba.
Thank you, Volker. Leveraging SIFS in open source. All right. As you are aware, there are millions of these systems out there. Millions of them. There are servers all over the place. It's Samba and Samba TNG. Windows NT, Windows 2000, Windows XP, ME, CE, 9X, 95, 98. Doing peer-to-peer serving, you know. And a handful of non-Microsoft commercial products. Andrew Bartlett and I were talking last night. We tried to come up with the number of commercial implementations of SIFS that they're out there. I know there's somebody from Helios here. Apple's got one now, actually, as a client piece. A couple of others out there. Some interesting groups of people. Pardon? Yeah, lots of them. Samba is the premier SMB SIFS implementation in the open source world. That's why we're here. But it's interesting to see. I mentioned real quickly the Windows XP, ME, et cetera, the peer-to-peer sharing. A lot of people run this and don't even know they're running it. How many people know this old story? It's an old story now, but in the United States when we first started doing cable modem, we first installed cable modem in different places. Cable modem is a broadcast medium. Boy, did that bring a new meaning to network neighborhood. Because suddenly you'd see all your neighbors' C drives on your list. It was great fun. They had to fix that. Many of the cable modems that they sell now block all of the Microsoft file sharing ports just because of this. It's really kind of fun. Okay. There are a lot of clients out there, too, if you think about it. In addition to all those Windows 9X, ME, CE, MOUSE boxes that are out there, there are a variety of other third-party clients. This Macintosh client is Thursby's client. Now Apple now has their own. We met the developer from Apple a while back at SIFS conference. He's a nice guy. That actually is based on one that was written for FreeBSD. For Linux, of course, there's the SMB client that comes with Samba. SMBFS client that works for Linux. Because of the work of Richard Sharp, I'll get into in a minute or two. Richard Sharp is a Samba team member. There's also now SMB SIFS integration in popular desktops. KDE, for example, now has the ability to browse through SMB shares and things like this, which is nice. Okay, and then other things. I mentioned Charity Lite. It's an open source piece. Their Charity Professional, whatever they call it, is not. But Charity Lite has actually been used as the foundation for. Are you ready? You're sitting down. Good. A file system client for the old Amiga OS. That was what was ported to the Amiga to give it what they call a file handler. All right. SMB file system for BSD. Somebody in Russia or Belarus, I'm not sure which, somebody here might know, developed a free BSD SMBFS, and that's what Apple ported to Darwin for their client. Okay, so like it or not, and there's plenty of reason not to like it, as Jeremy just pointed out, SIFS is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. All right? So if we're open source people, or even if we're not open source people, the question is, how do we leverage that? This is tremendous resource out there. Okay? How do we play with that? Okay? All right, a little bit of how Samba fits into this. Samba conference, we'll talk about how Samba fits in. Samba is a full-featured server. Okay? It's trying to replicate all this wonderful stuff that Windows NT and 2000 servers do so that you can replace your Windows 2000 or NT server with Samba. A nice thing to be able to do. All right? And it tries to replicate those services on top of a Unix POSIX environment. Okay? One of the things about that is that Samba is big. And the thing I like to say about this is, when you are trying to emulate a garbage pile, it's hard to stay clean. Okay? So Samba is big. There's a lot of stuff in there, a lot of features, a lot of stuff that has to be done to clean things up, to make them work in the Windows world. It's a translation program as much as anything else. Okay? Samba has been ported to a variety of non-traditional platforms, including Palm Tops. I have my little Sharp. Anybody see the Sharp Zaris? It's the new Palm Top that runs Linux. Okay, I've got mine with me. There's a port of Samba for that puppy. Okay, so little thing this big, and you run Samba on it. Okay. What about things like small office, home office, network utility devices? Things like, let's take a scanner, and instead of putting it on USB, just put it onto the network, plug in an Ethernet connection, or the printer, or things like this. Cellular telephones. I'm sure that because Europe is much more advanced than we are in the States when it comes to cellular telephones, you've talked about this, but the idea of opening your cellular telephone and, oh, what was that information? It was on my file at home. Okay. And you access the file at home. All right? Home appliances? Well, I don't know. I don't think you really need something like SMB SIFS on your dishwasher. But there are people talking about this kind of stuff. All right? It's out there. The possibilities are boundless. Okay. So the question here to ask yourselves is this. Is Samba SIFS in general, okay, but is Samba the right tool for some of these environments? Okay, now I would say, personally, I've got that little Palm Top. I would say it's really cool that somebody ported Samba to that Palm Top. But I'm really not going to use it as a major file sharing device in my home. Right? It's not what I bought the box for. The fact that it's capable is really cool. The fact that Samba can run on it is really cool, but that's not what I want to do with the device. Okay? All right. Samba also ports well to most Unix and POSIX environments. It has been ported to other platforms. There was an old port to Novell NetWare. Okay, I talked to Jeremy last night. We think the last one was 1.9.16 patch level 10 of Samba was the last version that they ported. Novell now has an SMB server implementation of their own. They came to a couple of the SIFS conferences a while back, and they were very quiet. And we said, why don't you just use Samba? And they said, corporate decision. Management. They don't want to do that. All right, so, yeah. OpenVMS. OpenVMS port. There is an Amiga OS port. I was really disappointed. The one and only remaining developer who maintains the old Amiga operating system lives here in Germany. And he's a friend of mine. But he's at the university, and he's finishing his studies, and he couldn't make it this week, which is really a shame, because he's really a cool guy. And I was hoping to have him here to show you some of the things he did. He actually wrote a paper prepared for this conference, which he didn't, again, he wasn't able to come in and present it to you, but he gave a full description of what he had to go through to port Samba 2.0.7, I think is the current version they're running, to the Amiga OS platform, which, of course, is not a POSIX platform. And it was rather painful. But he did it. He's really good. There have been various attempts that I hear about from time to time to actually run Samba on Windows. But it's an interesting idea. Why did you? Because it was, I don't know. And I'm sure there were others. I'm sure there are other things that people have done, porting Samba to different platforms that are out there. You know, toaster ovens, waffle irons, I don't know. All right. The point is here that ports of Samba to non-POSIX platforms, are really painful. They're difficult. Because Samba has to be POSIX-centric. It's too big to try to be so broad. It's broad enough as it is. We port to so many OSs as it is that to try to go beyond the POSIX environment is really, you know, it's painful. All right. That's what I hear every time I say, what about? And Jeremy says, no! He's a tough act to follow, especially when he uses 15 minutes of my time. Okay, so here's some tools. I've just pretty much given you some ideas. It's out there. People are trying to port Samba to everything just so they can access this stuff, use it, make it available. Here's some other tools, some other ways to go about this. The first one, what I'm particularly proud of, is JSIFS. And I'm proud of that because I was on the phone with Andrew Tridgell a while back, a couple years ago now. I'd never met him in person at that point. And I was really angry about some stupid decision he made. And I got so mad I was going to write this horrible email to him. And I thought, maybe I should call him, because, you know, sometimes when you talk to somebody in person, even if it's just a telephone call, you get a better perspective. Well, we spent about 2 hours on the phone. I was calling long distance from Minnesota in the USA to Canberra, Australia. Oh, my poor wife. that phone bill. Anyway, so I talked to him for a while, and he explained what was going on and why, and he was right. You know, that's pretty typical. But but in the discussion, he said, you know what Samba really needs? It needs an open source competitor. It needs something out there that could, you know, really give us some reason to push at things. And he said, well, you know, not many people on the Samba team could really do that because we're so embedded in Samba. I was fairly new at Samba at the time. And I said, well, I could. And he said, well, yeah, you could. So the next day, I went out and bought a book on Java. Oh, he's in the audience. I didn't see him at first. Anyway, so that's how the JSIFS project got started. And the most wonderful thing about the JSIFS project is somebody else is doing the coding now, which is really great. But basically, it's SMB SIFS client implementation in Java, which means that it's highly portable to non-Microsoft platforms. That's supposed to be a chuckle line. Anyway, it's highly portable to non-Microsoft platforms and really does work. And it's fairly compact because it's only a client. It doesn't have to worry about all the churning and turning and everything else that the servers have to worry about. It's just a client, okay? And it should work on a lot of embedded devices, things like cell phones, palm tops, etc. Actually, in fact, we've had reports of people who have ported JSIFS to the Palm OS and to mainframes. So we run the gamut. It's really kind of fun. We run the gamut. And of course, because it's Java, you can put pretty pictures in front of it, and you can put nice icons and everything else. So it's a library, it's a toolkit, but you can build what you want on top of it. Another interesting piece is Richard Sharp's libsmb client. What Richard did was he found interesting bits of Samba code inside Samba, and he wrote a front-end API library. I've been talking to Andrew Bartlett about how this really works. He wrote a library interface, an API that allows different utilities, applications running on a given system, to call functions that are actually inside of Samba. You don't even have to have Samba running. You compile whatever you're doing up, and you have just the pieces you need. But the point is that you can build SMB functionality into applications now. The prime example, again, would be something like KDE, which I believe is why Richard went ahead and did this. He wanted to have this in KDE. But there are a lot of other ways you could use this. If you know what the API does and how it works, there are a lot of ways you could use this to build applications that are aware of SMB networking. Okay? It provides client applications. Okay, got that. Okay, integrates well with Samba. If Samba is running on your system, libsmb client knows how to deal in a Samba environment. So if Samba is or is not running on your system, you're okay. Nice thing to have. Some outdated libraries. These are old projects that kind of don't have anybody really managing them anymore. But if anybody's interested, it's maybe a place to start if you're curious about playing with some of the stuff. Pardon? Or a place not to start, as Andrew Bartlett points out. Yes, some of these might be very, very bad, and you really want to look at them. Some people liked libsmb++, which was a project by someone named Nicholas Brodru, who worked on it for a while, and then he had a full-time job, and he didn't have time anymore. This was another inspiration for the libsmb client, because when Nicholas stopped working on libsmb++, the KDE people were left with a half-finished piece of software that they were trying to use, so they had to find something else. SMB Val is something that I've only heard about in the last few days, and I'm told that it's awful. Okay. Okay. It's supposedly, you know, it's supposedly got a lot of trouble in it. So if there are people here who are using that code, maybe it needs to be maintained. I don't know. And then I mentioned CharityLite a while ago. It's a userland mounting tool so you can access file systems. Okay. Oops. Oh, wake up. Thank you. Okay. Another thing that if you're interested in leveraging SMB out in the world, something you want to be aware of is the SMB URL. Okay. When Richard started working on LibSMB client, he started talking about, wouldn't it be nice, since he wanted to integrate with KDE, which used URLs for everything, wouldn't it be nice to have a URL form for the SMB protocol? There were a lot of discussions on the Samba technical mailing list, and we came up with a basic format. I give the outline here. But if you have questions about it, talk to me. There is a current IETF draft. It's my fault. I'm sorry. It's not what the IETF wants, so I have to rewrite it. However, it does give a lot of information. You can use it as a starting point. The problem, of course, is that we started having these discussions in public on the Samba technical mailing list, and we mentioned it a couple of times on Microsoft's SIFS mailing list, and the end result is that a number of vendors, who shall remain nameless, Thursby Apple, have gone out and implemented based on the email we were sending back then. So this is kind of a problem. All right. And if you are interested, which I hope people are, one of the things that I think is the most important is that people understand how this stuff works. I think Jeremy did a wonderful job of just explaining, both at high and low level at the same time, how the printing subsystems work. It was very, very nice. Thank you, Jeremy. What I think is very important is people need to understand how these things work and what it is we go through to make Samba go the way it does. Okay, it runs. How do we get there? So what I've got here is just simply a link to one of my web pages that has a list of references. And that link is actually part of a larger body of documentation that I've been putting together. I have so far published on the web a large bit of information about how the NetBIOS over TCP layer works. And I hope to finish that up in the next few months to include a lot more information about how the rest of the basics of SMB work. It's very enlightening to understand how these systems work. I think the more people who understand how SMB and SIFS work, the more people who will run screaming. Okay? And that's basically, that's basically it. So I made it fast, so you can...
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for making it so fast. So are there any questions on JSIS or anything like that?
Please.
No.
Questions? Yes, Jeremy.
So I haven't looked at the code recently, but are you handling oplocks? And if so, sorry.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the JSIS code recently, but are you handling oplocks? And if so, are you having a separate thread to get the asynchronous messages coming back? How are you actually doing that?
I don't know. We're not doing oplocks yet, but that's something we're going to talk to you and the rest of the Samba Tech folks about. You know, you did oplocks at one point a while back, so we'll be asking some questions. It's an interesting thing. We definitely want to have that capability, but at this point, one of the things about JSIS is it's intended to open a connection, get something, and bring it back and be done. So the need for oplocks is not that great at the moment.
So, Dimitri. Chris, you did mention about Samba ported to your portable Pentop computer. Did you mean to say that you think that was a useless effort, or did you mean to say that, hey, come on and invent some use for this on this toy?
Both. I mean, as I was saying, yeah, it's a good question. The question is basically, how do I really feel about that Samba port to the Palm Top? First, I really do think it was simply basically cool. The fact that it worked was really cool, okay? But if you take a Linux Palm Top and a Windows CE Palm Top and you put wireless networking cards in them, the Windows CE network, the Windows CE Palm Top is going to have a network neighborhood or equivalent, whatever they call it this week. It's going to have its own way of browsing and accessing shares and everything else. I think the Linux Palm Top should have the same thing. Okay? I want it to be as useful. Now, the fact that you could port Samba to it demonstrates a lot of things. Will it be useful? It might be useful in the sense that it proves that a small processor with a limited amount, 32 these days, 32 meg is a limited amount of memory, and this was a developer edition, so it only had 32, it proves that that size device could really be a very useful tool. You could use it as a print server or some device like this. But I think for a palm top, okay, for a palm top, you want different functionality, and there's a different niche there that needs to be filled. Does that answer your question?
Mostly?
I can
think of a
better
answer anyway.
Right, okay, good enough. These guys were laughing at me.
No, it was about you.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
As a print server, we were wondering where you are going to print to, is it?
Well, I'm just saying that size device, that size device. The question here is, how would you use a palm top as a print server? And my answer is really not the palm top itself, but a small device with an ARM chip, an inexpensive embedded system. I'm very interested in embedded systems, and that's what I'm talking about here. So, how about printing from your cell phone? Wouldn't that be fun?
Are they planning to make JSIPS print as a client?
You know, I think we do support some. The question is, are there plans to make JSIPS print as a client? We support the pieces necessary, but we don't yet do the low-level printing stuff that we would need to do the basic printing. We probably wouldn't try to do some of the more advanced printing, which is, again, all the binary issues and everything else. But, we have the basics there to do basic printing, so. Yeah, Dimitri.
Yeah, come to another question. Yeah, now what put Samba to digital camera?
Well, again, yeah. This is, yes. Okay, this is a good example. Dimitri's suggesting, what about porting something like Samba to a digital camera? Well, one of the ways you can do things is you can have, a very simple server. You don't need all of the features that Samba offers. Samba's a very complete system. Do you need all of those features to offer a simple share that lets you mount the camera, the data on the camera from your local device? And this is what I was talking about when I was talking about things like a scanner. A flatbed scanner on your network, what would you do? You'd scan a few things, it would store in local memory. What if you could mount that as a share from all the devices in your home? Then you do a scan and it's available to every device in your home or your office or wherever else. Okay, so that's very much the kind of thing that we're talking about.
Okay, Chris, thank you.
Welcome. Danke.
We have another 20-minute break. There should be coffee outside there, and make sure you grab some.